Have you ever done something that you thought would get rewarded and instead it got criticized? Have you ever been in that spot before? It could be at home, it could be at work, it could be anywhere. But have you ever had that experience where you thought that what you were doing was something that was really good and you were just waiting for people to just lay out the thank yous, and instead it was met with criticism or discipline or frustration? There was, I'm going to tell you about a couple of them. There was actually a guy, not in this state, but in another state, and he was about 2 years away from retirement, and he was one of the people that you pay when you go through the toll booth. And so he was there taking tolls, and a family came through and they didn't have the tolls to pay. And so he paid the tolls out of his own pocket. I don't mean he gave them a pass. I'm not saying he didn't make them pay. I'm not saying that there wasn't money applied to their ticket. I'm saying that he literally reached into his own pocket and took out the money and paid for it. Important distinction, I think. It wasn't that he just said, go ahead and pass without paying. He paid for them. You know, he got fired for that. Can you imagine that? I mean, he paid out of his own money, and you would be thinking that his bosses would say, well, you know, that's very kind of you, and you're so good to have the... They fired him for that act of kindness. There was actually a guy, not in Texas either, this is a story from another state, who's walking down the street, and he saw a little bitty dog, you know, those cute dogs, in a car with the windows rolled up, and it was in the summer, and the dog was showing signs of distress. The tongue was out, and he looked around, and you know, in a moment like that, there's a lot of people watching, and people are, you know, somebody do something. Well, he did. He jumped to action, and he smashed the window, pulled the dog out, gave it some water, went over to the shade to wait for the owner to come out. Well, when the owner came out, was not too pleased with what had happened and called the law. And the guy got arrested for that. Now, there was a law in the state where he was at. There was a law that if there was a human being in the car, then you could break the car and you would not be in trouble. And the arresting cop said, man, I hated to arrest him, but the owner of the car was making such a ruckus that there was really no choice. And I bring all of this up because we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture today that kind of feels like that. And so open with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read a couple of verses about these disciples, about these people who spent years of their life following Jesus, about these guys that if anybody should have it figured out, they should have it figured out. And they're going to do something that when first passed through the passage, you would think would register as something good. I'm going to explain what I mean to you when we read the scripture, but if you would open to Mark chapter 4 and look with me, if you would, starting in verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, he being Jesus, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, and just as he was. Other boats were with them, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Jesus, in the middle of the storm, is asleep. Now, you may have felt like that before. You may have felt like God was sleeping on you. You're in the middle of a storm, and Jesus is taking a break. Maybe you've been in that place before that you felt that way. And so they went, look with me in verse 38, it says, they went and woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? You ever ask that question to God? God, do you care about me? Do you care about my family? Do you care about the stuff that's going on in my life? That's what they ask him. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the sea, and he's yelling at the wind, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now listen, here's what I want to lay before you this morning as we continue our study, our Bible study, our sermon series, through a series called Redeeming Doubt. And the reason that we're journeying through this sermon series is because I understand that we struggle with doubt. It may be occasional, it may be weekly, it may be daily, but we all have struggled with doubt. And I'm telling you, I know that because these disciples struggled with doubt. Now, here's the part where you may just pass through the scripture and say, wait a second, why is Jesus upset with these men? Why does, after he calms the storm, does he look at them and say, are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith? I mean, think about this for a second. Let's just look back at the passage and really understand the circumstances, the context of what is happening. This is a serious storm. The scripture says that a great windstorm came upon them. And it also says in the scripture that it was so strong. Look with me in verse 37. A great windstorm arose. The waves were breaking into the boat, and the boat was filling with water. Here's what I want you to understand. This wasn't a nothing burger, okay? This was important. This was a serious thing. Now, if you're not a boater, if you don't go out offshore fishing and you've never been out there in the middle of nothing and all of a sudden you think your boat's going to sink, you may have a hard time wrapping your heart around this reality. But just think with me for a second how serious this was. They're out at the sea. There's a storm brewing, and it's so strong that their boat is starting to fill up with water. Now, I say that to make the connection to your life. I don't think that your problems are meaningless. They're serious. They're challenges. They're circumstances. There's storms that are brewing in your life. I understand. Maybe not a physical storm like this, but there's storms in your life. But here's the part where we really have to put our thinking hats on and understand, why did Jesus challenge these disciples? Because as a preacher, you know what I spend my life trying to convince people to do? Run to Jesus. I mean, that's what I do day in and day out. Somebody emails me, what should I do about this situation? Run to Jesus. I get up here on a Sunday morning and I get 30 to 35, sometimes 40 minutes. And I'm telling you, run to Jesus. You text me, Zach, I'm going through this thing. What should I do? Run to Jesus. Over and over, we're telling people, run to Jesus. These families that were here this morning, they're dedicating their children. And you know what we want to teach their children to do? Run to Jesus. And then they do. And Jesus says, you still don't have any faith? Now, wait a second. This is a real storm that is a real threat to their boat, which means it's a real threat to their life. And they run to Jesus. So why then do they have the challenge? I mean, just try to think with me if you would. What would have happened in the Garden of Eden if Adam and Eve would have been as faithful as these disciples? What if they would have ran to God in the garden and say, God, don't you see we're being tempted? What do you want us to do? What if at the foot of the mountain, instead of building a golden calf to worship a false idol, what if they had run to God like these disciples ran to Jesus? What if on the edge of the promised land, when they're all sitting around going, what should we do? What if they would have run to God? And anyway, my point is this. We spend so much time telling people and pleading with people to run to the Lord. And here they do. And Jesus challenges them and says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why the challenge? Here's why. I want you to look with me in a verse. Look with me if you would in verse 35. Very first verse that we read this morning. And I want you to look at what Jesus says. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go to the other side. What was Jesus saying? He said to them, we will go to the other side of this sea. We will go to the other side of this body of water. We are going to get to the other side. Jesus said to them, we are going to get in this boat and we are going to get to the other side. And so it's not that they were running to the wrong person. They, in fact, were running to the right person. But here's the problem. The storm in their life caused them to forget the words and the character of Jesus. Jesus was not chastising them or challenging them because they came to him with a problem. Jesus was chastising them and challenging them because they forgot what he had already said. We're going to the other side. I think this would have been different. I think Jesus would have responded to them differently if they would have woke up Jesus and said, Jesus, can you come in for a second? We need to have a chat. Because you said we're going to the other side, but it doesn't look like we're going to the other side right now. It looks like we're going to the bottom. I mean, what if they would have woke up Jesus and said, Jesus, can you come for a second? We're having a business meeting. We need you to come get with us. And we need you to teach us some things. Because we don't understand the storm that's going on around us, but we trust you. What are you going to do about this? What if they would have woke Jesus up and said, Jesus, hit us with some divine perspective, because from where us regular folk sit, it seems like this boat is going to the bottom of this sea. You see, they didn't do any of that. Here's what happened. Here's why I think this story ends up in a sermon series called Redeeming Doubt. It is very true that they went to the right place. So you are right to teach your children to run towards Jesus. I'm right to plead with you to run towards Jesus. But here's where it went wrong. Their problem caused them to doubt what the Lord had already said to them. And I find that that is true frequently in 2018 as well. There may be a storm brewing in your life, and you have no idea what to do about it. Well, you're in good company, because the disciples faced that same problem. But my prayer for you this morning is that you would be found more faithful than the disciples in this situation, and that the storm that may be brewing in your life now, or the one that will brew eventually, will not cause you to forget or to doubt the things that God has spoken into your life. And so what I want to do with my time is to share with you from this scripture 5 lessons for life that I think are important for us, not just to know, but for us to embrace. The first lesson is this. Jesus didn't need the disciples' faith to do something amazing. You see, here we are in a moment in time where the very people that you and I look up to as the leaders of the early church, I mean, these are the people that are doing miracles. These are the people that were willing to go to the grave to preach that Jesus Christ had been resurrected from the dead. These are the people on whose backs the church exploded. Well, in this moment, they're lacking faith. But God still did something great. And so I want to teach you something important from this passage. Jesus did not need the disciples' faith to do something amazing. In fact, they're lacking faith at this point in the story. Again, look with me if you would, that when they woke Jesus up, what did they say to him? We are going to perish. Again, they didn't say, tell us what to think. They didn't say, what is your plan? They just passed the judgment. They just decided, we're not going to make it to the other side. They were totally lacking faith. And yet, the very first thing that Jesus does is he calms the storm. I want to say to you that the Lord doesn't need our faith or our energy or our gifts or our charisma to accomplish anything. He can do it himself. He's that big. He's that powerful. We get to participate with him. We get to place our faith in Jesus and be made right with God. It is not as though God needs us to have faith in him. We need to place our faith in him because we need him so deeply. So the first life lesson is that he didn't need their faith to do mighty things. In fact, in the very moment where they were lacking faith, he stands up and he rebukes the storm and the storm stops. The second life lesson, Jesus didn't run out on them when they were overwhelmed. Whew, my friends, those of you who are in a storm right now, I want you to write this down. I want the very understanding of your heart to just grasp this truth this morning. That when the disciples were overwhelmed, when they didn't understand, when they were at their lowest, when they were at their weakest, when they were filled with fear, when they had stopped believing Jesus, when they were making judgment that had nothing to do with the words that came out of Jesus' mouth, in that very moment, the Lord did not run out on them. In fact, he protected them. What would have the scene have been if Jesus would have said, oh, so you don't believe in me now? Oh, you'll believe in me when it's somebody else's problem, right? You'll believe in me when that guy with all of those demons in the cemetery? Oh, you believed in me when I drove those demons out into the pig and they went for the swim, right? You believe in me then? You know why? Because it didn't have anything to do with you. Now, when it has something to do with you, you don't want to believe in me. You want to lack faith when your very life needs the most faith? Okay, fine. I'll let you deal with this problem. I'm out. Jesus, where are you going? I walk on water. What would they have done? What would the disciples have done if Jesus would have decided to bail on them because they weren't walking in faith in that moment? And just take a step out of the boat and say, that'll teach you to doubt me, and walk off. That's the gospel, y'all. The Lord doesn't bail on us when we're at our weakest point. Maybe you're at your weakest point today. Maybe you're at the point in your life where you feel like it's not just that there's water coming in the boat. It's like the boat is going down. And you're thinking, does God still love me? Is God still with me? Is God going to bail on me? The answer is no. God is not going to bail on you. Now, often we bail on him, don't we? Isn't it true that there have been times that we have circumstances in our life and we walk away from the Lord? But look at this passage. In the very moment where they pass judgment on the character of Jesus and say, you're just going to let us drown. You don't care. He doesn't walk out on them. Let that shape your view of the character of God. Life lesson number three. Jesus is a master at turning doubt into wonder. Jesus is a master at turning doubt into wonder. You don't need me to teach you this. You live it. In fact, let me just see a show of hands. How many people in here? How many people sitting in this room this morning? How many of the gathered church has ever been in a situation where you said to yourself, I don't have any idea how this is going to work out, but I can't see a single scenario where this is going to work for good and God did something crazy? Anybody? Look around. Yeah, we know this. Jesus is a master at taking doubt and turning it into wonder. That's what he does in this passage. They're doubting him. They wake him up. Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Look at how it ends. They were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, they began to wonder, who is this guy? He speaks to creation, and it responds. And my question not is will creation respond? My question is not this morning, does the wind and the sea obey him? My question is, will you respond when he speaks to you this morning? Jesus is a master at taking doubt and turning it into wonder. Life lesson number four, storms illustrate what we believe about God. Storms will illustrate what we think about God. Now, I'm not saying it illuminates what we answer in our Bible study classes. That's a totally separate matter. We know the right answers, don't we? If you've been in Bible study here, you understand the right answers. You understand what we're supposed to say, what we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to feel when we're going through life's storms. But the storm itself has this incredible knack for illuminating what we really think about God on the inside. You see, in this moment, the storm illuminated for everybody for thousands of years to come that these disciples really still struggled with putting their full faith in Jesus. And the storm illuminated it. And the storm that you will face, I have no idea what it will be. I cannot predict. I'm not a prophet in that manner. I can't tell you the storm that you will face, but I will tell you this, that when you walk into the storm, what you believe about God will be manifested in your life, and the storm will illuminate what you think about the character of the Lord Jesus. The fifth life lesson is this. It is better to be challenged by Jesus than to slip into rebellion. I was thinking about this passage. And I'm going to tell you, I went through a whole cycle of emotions. Because I'm an imaginative type of person, and I like to try to put myself in the shoes of the people that were there and to think about what would have happened if this would have happened to me, or this would have happened, and this would have been said, and that would have been said. And I'm trying to think, how would I have thought if I'm in that boat and I'm the one that runs to Jesus? I'm like, Jesus, wake up, man. This boat is sinking. Do you care if we perish? And at that moment, I'm trying to think, what is my heart doing inside of me when he gets up and he rebukes the storm? And the scripture says it went calm. It went calm. I would have been sitting there going, I mean, what would you have thought, right? And so I'm thinking, what are my emotions in that moment? And then pivot from there and think about how would I have responded to the Lord? If he looked at me dead in my eyeballs and said, are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith? I probably got a little indignant. What do you mean no faith? I'm in the boat. I'm here with you, Jesus. I probably would have wanted to argue with the Lord. You know, that never wins, but we keep trying it over and over and over. And then it just kind of hit me. I just think the Lord spoke this into my life. I think it's true in scripture. It's where it comes from. It's better to be challenged by the Lord than to slip into rebellion. And then I thanked God for the fact that in the middle of the boat, after one of the most traumatic moments of their life so far, Jesus would love them enough to stop and to tell them exactly where they are. You still lack faith. And as weird as it sounds to say, what a loving thing to do. It's for Jesus to take those disciples and tell them, you still lack faith. Let me ask you this morning, what would hold you back? What is holding you back from starting a journey with this Jesus? The Jesus that can calm the storms. Not just only the literal storms, but the metaphorical ones, the spiritual ones that you are fighting right now. What is holding you back from running to this Jesus and saying, I lack faith, but I just need you to save me. I'm going to put all the little faith that I have in you, Lord Jesus, because I've got storms that I need you to save me from. What would keep you from that this morning? Pride? Could pride keep you this morning from doing that? What about shame? Maybe you're struggling with the shame of what's going on in your life and you're thinking to yourself, if Jesus knew why I have this storm in my life, he would want to have nothing to do with me. Friends, we have all said that to ourselves. And it is a lie from the enemy himself. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's knowledge. Maybe you just don't realize. Maybe you think to yourself, if I just go to church, it's enough. It's not enough. We're glad you're here. We want to fill this place up. We're glad that you're here. But I have to tell you that attendance here in this building on a Sunday morning does not mean that you have a relationship with God. What would keep you this morning from beginning walking with this man, this Lord, this King, that can calm the storms in our lives? I hope that if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that today would be the day But what about believers in the room this morning? Maybe you're looking at this and thinking to yourself, what does it take so that I don't fall into the trap that the disciples fell into? Because the trap was they have faith in this moment, and then boom, this storm hits, and all of a sudden they start doubting the Lord because of the storm. They forgot the things that the Lord said. They forgot the character of God as one of redemption and rescue. And so in the middle of the storm, they get amnesia. They start forgetting about the things that God has done in their life and the things that God has taught them and the things that God has said in His Word. So maybe you have this real passion in you this morning that says, I don't want to be like that disciple. I want to have as much faith in the middle of the storm as I have outside of the storm. I want to help you do that before we close this morning by sharing with you three thoughts. If you want to write them down, here are the words that I want you to write down. Remember, reflect, and refuse. Remember, reflect, and refuse. If you want to avoid falling into the trap that these disciples fell into, and you want to be a person who walks out your faith in the middle of the storm, as much so as outside of the storm, the first thing that you have to do is to remember. You have to remember that the problem that is in front of you may in fact be significant, may in fact be deadly, may in fact be huge, may in fact be serious, may in fact be the largest storm and problem that you've ever faced. But you have to remember that in the face of that storm, Jesus brings the calm. You have to remember that. You see, in their storm, they forgot it. They had seen all of these miracles. They had heard all of these teachings. They had seen Jesus do amazing things. But in their own personal storm, they forgot. What's the key? The key is to remember that that storm may be real, but Jesus is great. That storm may be significant, but Jesus has power. That storm may be pressing, but Jesus liberates and redeems. Remember. Secondly, we have to reflect. Here's what I mean by that. And this is the part where I just stand up here and beat the drum of Bible study. Because how can we ever really understand what it is that God has already said if we neglect to get in the Word of God? And so we have to remember how great God is. But in the middle of the storm, we have to reflect. We have to stop. We have to look away from the thunder, we have to look away from the lightning, and we have to reflect, and we have to say to ourselves, has God already spoken on this matter? What if the disciples had done that? What if they would have said, hey guys, listen, what if there would have just been one that would have said, listen, I know that it looks like this boat is about to sink. But think back 30 minutes ago before Jesus fell asleep, what he said already that we are going to the other side. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I am standing on the words of the Lord. That's why Bible study is important. Because you can't stand on the word of the Lord if you don't know what it is. We have to remember, we have to reflect, and praise God, we have to refuse. Refuse to jump to a faithless conclusion. Hey, we're people of faith. When our coworkers want to know about the Lord, they come to us because we are people of faith. When our neighbors want to know about the Lord, they come to us because we're people of faith. When they have a problem, they come to us because we are people of faith. So in the middle of the storm, we have to refuse with a holy stubbornness to jump to a faithless conclusion. That's what the disciples did. And listen, I'm not picking on the disciples. I'm telling you, I have lived this life myself. But this was their struggle. They believed Jesus. They hit a storm. They leaped or leapt. They jumped to a faithless conclusion. Think about all the other things that they could have decided. Jesus is going to do something. If the boat sinks, We'll just jump on his back and he'll walk us to the shore. I mean, think of all the things that they could have said that would have been full and pregnant with faith, but they didn't. They said, we're going to die right here. Faithless conclusions. Remember, the problem in front of you may be serious, but Jesus calms storms. Reflect and ask, has the Lord already spoken about this matter? And refuse to jump to faithless conclusions.